You're listening to the E2C Network, podcast by Auburn fans for Auburn fans. Brought to you by the Auburn Uniform Database. Visit them at auburnuniforms.com.
War Eagle Auburn fans, and welcome to Tiger Tracks, your source for Auburn track and field and cross-country news and discussion. Yet again, I'm your host, Jessica Loomis, and I'm here with my husband and wonderful co-host. I don't think I've used that word in a while. Kyle.
You say yet again like it's a bad thing.
Well, I just mean yet again. Like, this is the voice of the Auburn Cross Country E2C podcast. Welcome. You should know my voice by now.
You sure do think highly of yourself. The voice of
the E2C. The voice.
I said of
the E2C Cross Country show. You're the second voice. You'd be the voice. I'm the voice. You're the voice.
Well, okay, fine. I'll be the voice if that's what it takes on this show. But yes, thank you for having me here again.
Yes, thank you. I do appreciate you being here because it is more fun bantering about cross country with another person.
Is it more fun bantering about cross country or just bantering with your husband?
Ooh, that's great, actually. Can't answer that.
It's one of life's mysteries we'll never solve.
Correct. But cross country is fun, too. So, this week, we're talking about the...
This is going to be funny, folks. All right, everybody, okay. Get ready. Jessica's going to... We talked about how to pronounce this one, and it's going to be really funny to watch Miss Southern Belle. How she's going to pronounce this. Here we go, everybody.
Okay, so they went to Notre Dame's. Meet.
Wait, hold on. You've already messed up. Notre Dame's?
How do you say it?
Notre Dame. Not Dame's.
No, Dame's meat.
Okay.
It's now, their meat. That's possessive. Plural possessive.
The way you said it, though, it was like you were calling Notre Dame Notre Dame's.
No!
I went to Notre Dame's.
No, I didn't just add an extraneous S.
I thought you were already getting like messed up.
It went to their meet in South Bend, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Joe... It was Joe somebody's invite.
Nope, say it.
Joe Piani?
Yay, everybody collab.
If that's correct.
Joe Piani.
Okay, so they went to his invitational.
Yes, the 64th annual Joe Piani invitational.
That's correct. So I'm guessing he was a bigwig at Notre Dame.
I would. When you have 64 annual meets named after you, I would say you were pretty important.
Yeah, I'm reckoning so. I'm probably guessing he's no longer on this earth.
Sure, yeah, I guess if we want to get into that topic, I mean, sure.
I just feel like he wasn't going to MC the race.
What, Liz, he's listening right now. He's like, I'm still here, folks. I'm still
okay,
here.
Okay, well, this is taking a terrible turn. So, Auburn drove up to the cold, cold Indiana.
Well, here's the thing. Is it that they drove up or were they just, did they schedule it this way knowing that the heat the entire Southeast was going to be experiencing, trying to literally... run away from it because
right?
They were in Oxford, Alabama to start the season.
Yes.
Then we went up to Nashville.
Yes.
Not too much further up north.
But enough. Maybe a little breeze.
Maybe a little breeze here. We're going up to South Bend, Indiana.
It's cold.
This is my theory is that Coach Barnett is just a weatherman and just knew, hey, we're going north to get away from this crap because it's awful.
Perhaps it was like a really important race and there were tons of teams there good competition.
Look, logic has no place here.
Oh, okay.
Logic has no place here. We're going with the weather theme here because everybody's got an opinion about the weather and climate and all that good stuff.
Gosh, you're right.
We won't even get into that today. But... what's ironic, and I will give you this to support my theory, now that the weather has suddenly turned when they go up there, they're going to start slowly making their way back down here towards Lexington and Tallahassee, and then they're going to go back up. I'm just saying, there's something to this, folks.
Okay, well, that's a great theory, honey. I don't know that you're right, but sure.
I think I'm right. I'm.
Of course you think you're right.
I mean, always right, though.
It would be your show, so, okay.
It would be my show.
All right. Well, let's talk about some girls.
Okay.
So.
Talk about some girls. All right. What do you want to talk about?
You seemed a little too enthusiastic about that.
Mary Jo, Susie Q, like what girls you want to talk about?
Okay. This show is just derailing very quickly.
See, this is what you get when you bring me on your show.
Right. Why did I invite you to be my co-host? So, the women, they ran the traditional 5K. They placed 19th overall in their division. So, they were maybe gold division? I don't know. Some division. They had different divisions, obviously. How many times can I say division?
Hold on. What's a gold division?
Right? I don't know. They got gold stickers.
Is that like a legitimate thing or are you making that up
No, they were different divisions like based on what teams were in what division.
Hmm.
So sometimes they'll have a silver division. Sometimes they'll have a gold division.
Okay.
It doesn't mean...
This is like brand new information to me.
Me too. It means something. I'm just not sure what.
Awesome. Great.
Correct. This is a great podcast.
Really informative here.
So, how about this? They placed 19th. There were 24 teams. So?
Okay, so 19th out of 24, we see that. If you look at it, on the surface, it doesn't look like they did all that well. They got, what, 487 points.
Correct, but one of our runners did extremely well, so we're about to get into that.
So maybe maybe this is a great individual performance area, but not team performance area.
There you go. There you go. Auburn is not competing at a high competitive team level yet. Is that a good way to say it?
And this is something, before we get into the nitty-gritty of who finished where and our scoring placement, I'm actually kind of intrigued by what happened here, because what we've seen this season is that the women have been kind of leading the way, so to speak, in terms of team performance, and I think we could see the opposite here in this meet. And
we had some significant competition.
It's funny you say that, too, because I was looking at who was going to be a part of this meet, and they said this was a very cross-country meet, because we had teams like New Mexico, who's apparently very good for men and women. We had
Colorado.
Teams like Washington, where, you know. So I think this is the first time that, granted, the Nashville meet was very highly competitive. The Jacksonville meet, not so great. You know, it was a tune-up for them. That's why they kind of dominated it. Now we're in this is like the perfect setup heading into postseason. Yes, we're already there, because you're already playing teams like New Mexico and Washington and Oregon and all those teams out west that are suddenly good at all these things like that, because they can't be good in football. Yeah, I took a shot at them.
Oh.
But anyway, go ahead.
Well, there are things to be said about Auburn. But anywho.
Whoa.
Leave the
football to the no huddle people.
Well, maybe they're not talking about all the things I want them to talk about. But anyway, so for the women, there were 184 runners. So Auburn had five that we're going to talk about, the five that placed and scored for us. So first off, we had Joyce Camelli. This is her season debut because she's been injured. Mm-hmm. She came off an injury last year. She was all SEC and all American, if I'm correct, last year. So we're super excited to have her back. And all freshman SEC is what I wanted to say. So it's her sophomore year. We're really happy to have her back. The team should be happy to have her back as well, because she placed third overall out of 184 runners with a time of 16 minutes, 20.69 seconds.
It's exciting when you come back in general, especially if you're the team leader, so to speak. And I think we could easily classify her as that based on her performance last year. But when you come back and you're already in the top three.
I was going to say, you came back. Like, you didn't just come back. You, like... Wow. I don't know what she's been doing while she was injured, but dang.
I'm going to step out on a limb here. I'm going to stay with my weather theories, climate theories. She just didn't want to run in the heat.
That's it. That's exactly it.
Right. You know,
picture on the Auburn cross country website is actually her in a toboggan. It's actually a cool picture, but it's funny.
She's like, I'm going to wait till it cools down a little bit, till we go north, and then I'm going to start
running. And then I'm going to blow everybody out of the water except those two people.
Except for two people. Which were from, I think, New Mexico and Washington. I think those were the only two.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that only beat her.
But she beat 181 people.
I know, that's this outstanding performance by
her. I don't even know 181 people. Next. Okay, moving on. Kyle.
So next we had Faith Bett. We'll go for the next two through five finishers for Auburn. Placed 73rd overall in a time of 17 minutes, 22.3 seconds, followed by Abby Zane, 126th overall, with a time of 17 minutes, 48.07 seconds. Then Hannah Dial placed 139th with a time of 17 minutes, 55.41 seconds. And then another Hannah Tarwater, placed 162nd in 18 minutes, 12.24 seconds here. So I'm kind of looking at the spread here, Jessica. Other than Abby and Hannah, there's quite a bit of spread, which
there's
is probably why
huge spread.
We don't see a good team performance.
That's
here.
Exactly right. You were learning. I'm
I did
so
it.
Proud.
I did it. Do I get an A?
You get an A+. I am very proud, and I'll pat you on the back, which y'all can't see.
I want a
gold
star.
Oh, you do get a gold
star.
So
I can be part of the gold group or whatever you called it earlier.
Okay. Gold division.
Gold division.
You are the goldest gold division. I don't know what that means, but... That was a good job. You're exactly right. Because with cross country, to get a good team score, the goal is to get your runners as close together as possible, because you're going to have a lower score if they're grouped. You're going to be able to push each other, motivate each other. We've talked about this all before. Same stuff. It's important.
So, remind me if I'm wrong. The ladies here, are they running a little bit longer of a race than they typically do?
No.
Though I thought for some reason that they were running 4Ks normally and not a 5K.
No, normally they've been running 6Ks.
Okay.
This is a shorter race.
So could that have played into this at all? I mean, were they just, was their timing down? And I know.
Perhaps, but to me, I really just think it was the extreme competition.
And that.
Yeah.
But even if there is great competition there, you would think if they're running good, you know, groups together, that would still translate over to this, even if they are grouped together at the back end of the race. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure this out here because it just seems a little uncharacteristic for me for the ladies as a team unit.
Yeah.
To have not, and they didn't do poorly.
No,
just
they
not
did not
as well as we've come to expect this season thus far. And granted, we only have two meets to compare it to.
Correct, and not very many meets to go. I mean, such a short season this year.
I mean, this year I think we only had three regular season meets.
Wow.
Last year.
This is just insane.
Which, okay, look, I know we're kind of taking a lot of tangents here today, but let me just discuss that here.
Tangent, please.
Yes, tangent, please. I think between the first meet and the second meet, there was 1 week separated. So 2 week or 2 weeks in between them.
Correct. Okay.
I think between the second and third, it's been 3 weeks here.
Yeah.
Do you think is it just that athletes need a longer time to recuperate from events like this and why they spread it out so much? Or is it just because it's harder to put these type of events together more often?
That's kind of what I was thinking. Maybe Coach Spry is really picky about where he sends his athletes. The more you run, the more you compete, the more you're going to get injured. You know, you think, is it worth risking somebody getting injured on a fall or a poor course or something done poorly and, you know, for a small meet? No. Is it worth potentially getting injured at a big meet? Yes, because the likelihood is slim, you know, a lot slimmer because it's going to be a good meet. Like, this was on a golf course. It's a good location. You know.
Yeah.
That's my two cents. So, you want to talk about some men?
Yeah, let's talk about how the men did. They ran, and here's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
5 miles as opposed to a normal 8K. So, let's stop right there, Jessica, and let's maybe any ideas about why they would run the full 5 miles as opposed to just, and we say just like it's not quite a feat here, just the 8K. Any idea for that?
Honestly, no.
She was winding up like she was going to have something.
I was trying to figure out. So an 8K is 4.97 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So I truly, truly, truly have no idea. Unless it had to do with where they had to put the finish line. Because usually...
Oh, that's not a bad idea, actually.
Well, it's kind of silly, but you start with the end in mind. Isn't that like a really smart leadership book or something? Begin with the end in mind? Maybe a Stephen Covey book? So you always begin with the end in mind. And so you have to figure out where you're going to place the finish lines because finish lines are big. Like, it's not just like a little line and then we're done. No, you've got to have like a chute. Like, you've got to have like places for the thingy-majig, the times.
But an extra 0.03 of a mile and that makes that big of a difference? They can.
It can.
Okay.
It can because, like I said, they're on the golf course. Well, I mean, you can have your ending uphill, but if the hill doesn't end... That's not going to work.
I wish you guys could see the hand motions right now that she's making.
Yeah, y'all are just really losing out because I'm trying to describe this with my hands. And I'm doing a terrible job. This isn't going well. Let's just talk about it.
No, but I do think you bring up a good point, though. What I was thinking of why they would run the full 5 as opposed to just the 8K, meaning just short of 5 miles, I was thinking maybe they wanted to push them a little bit further just before we start postseason competition and maybe get them used to running a little bit longer, a little bit for longer distances, so that when they run the more, what I guess would be in regular competition, 5K, right?
Right.
Well, that they'll be used to running further, so they'll all be kind of, it's
8K in normal
competition.
Excuse
me, 8K. Sorry. I got them all mixed up there.
I know. And I didn't want to correct you, but that's a big difference.
Thank you for
I didn't want you to sound like a dum-dum.
Well, now I feel like a dum-dum.
You're not.
But anyway, so I guess that's what I was thinking, but I think yours makes more sense, and I know that's almost like not as exciting an explanation, but I think it could be as simple as, hey, we can't place the finish line where we want it to, so we've got to either move it back or move it forward.
Because what if the finish line was in that dreaded sand trap?
No. Look, I went the whole podcast without mentioning that.
I know, but I had to.
And you've, like, brought it back. So now
I just love you, so I had to. So, okay, the men ran the 5 mile, not the 8K. They placed 10th overall out of 20 teams with a score of 257 points. And they had 159 runners overall, so a little bit smaller than the women.
So 4 less teams overall here, and then
third, 28. 20,
ooh, you did some quick math there.
Incorrect math, but 25.
It was closer to what I was going to say.
If you just say it with like a lot
confidence,
of gumption, you know.
25 less runners over here, but the men, 10th out of 20 teams.
Yeah, I think this is really good. And when we look, when we talk about the placement, you'll see, like, it was pretty good.
Yeah, so this is kind of what we were expecting the ladies to do based on past performances. Yeah. And the men actually kind of step up here and do a, maybe not individual, we don't get to celebrate a third place finish like Joyce, but we get to celebrate solid performance for by the most
Absolutely.
Part as a team here.
Absolutely. So let's start us off with Silas
Kipnijik.
There you go. Him. Silas. He placed 33rd with a time of 25 minutes, 8.01 seconds. Then we had Tommy McDonough, who placed 40th with a time of 25 minutes, 15.83 seconds. Andy Smith with a placed 53rd with a time of 25 minutes, 22.27 seconds. Jack Rogers placed 57th, so only four places behind him, time of 25 minutes, 23.8 seconds. And here we go. Jack's younger brother, Evan, placed 114th with a time of 26 minutes, 19.36 seconds. So first of all, that just does my little female heart good, seeing two little brothers on the same team.
You think us males can't have like little like soft spots for this?
Oh, I definitely think you can. I just think typically I'm going to be more emotional than you. I'm not generalizing for everybody. I'm just saying me.
It just warms my heart to see his brother running along.
It does.
I was going to say alongside him.
Well, not necessarily beside him, but they're in the same race. Yeah. They're wearing the same uniform. Like, how freaking cool is that?
It is. It's nice when you can bring family into it now. You know, like football's got it with Derek Brown and his brother being able to play now.
Yep. Didn't know that.
Well, there you go. You learned something today.
See?
Those are the cool
well,
stories.
Well, obviously, like, Daniel and Anders Carlson.
Not playing together, but being, well,
but I'm just saying, they like, it's the legacy.
Sure. And she's doing a hand motion
oh,
again.
Yeah, with, I am.
Legacy.
Okay, well, but yeah, anyway, I think that's really cool.
I think it's great. You know, obviously, 114th overall for him. This is, you know, not a great finish, but if, you know, this is his, was this his first time running here?
This is my first time hearing about him. However, to be fair, I only report the top five finishers for Auburn.
True.
And this time he was number five and placed for us. So he may have been running the other meets and I just haven't mentioned him.
So whether it's his first time running or first time being in the scores, great that you can show up in the same scorecard with your brother. And I think that's a great moment for your family overall, just to
yeah.
be able to see that there.
I agree. So
the other thing here I want to point out, I'm learning something. Look how much everybody's bunched up in the middle.
I know.
I learned something.
Hey, I'm proud that you noticed that. But you know what else I'm more proud of besides the placement?
What's that?
That there's only 15 seconds difference between the top four
finishers. Well, that's
what I meant.
Not even the placement. I wasn't focused on the placement.
Oh, good
time.
Job, Boo.
I was focused on how close those times were. Now, granted, Tommy is a little bit ahead of Andy and Jack Rogers here in the middle. But still, that tells me, look in, and the other thing,
I feel like
I'm still in all your thunder here, but look how many runners were in that 15-second window there.
I know.
Tommy's 40th, Andy's 53rd. That's a lot of people finishing in that small window of time.
I'm just so proud of you right now. I've taught you so much. I can sit back and give the podcast to you, and I won't have to ever do this again.
Let's not get crazy now.
Okay.
Let's not get crazy at all. But again, Silas leads the way.
Yeah, absolutely. So this was kind of the last regular meet, which is weird, but Auburn, their next meet is the SEC Championships. Like, it's a big dog meet.
Yeah, and it's going to be in Lexington, Kentucky. So we said they're going to start heading back down south for the winter.
Yep.
So they'll have been on somewhat similar terrain being in Nashville, I guess.
That's fair, potentially.
Yeah.
I think Lexington's got a little more hills.
They probably have a little more hills.
Maybe I shouldn't call them hills. Mountains?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's hills, not mountains, but yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but we could be competing against the best of the SEC.
The best of the best. So on November 1st, Auburn will travel to Kentucky for the SEC Championships.
So another 3 weeks, I guess.
Yep.
We got to wait for another meet here.
Yep.
Before you know it, we're going to be basically
in
like,
track season.
In spring season already.
Isn't that crazy? Like, track and field, there's a meet every week. In cross country, we go a month at a time.
So 3 weeks from now, we'll hopefully be watching and hopefully seeing Joyce Camelli do great things again in
Absolutely.
Conference competition. And maybe these guys can continue the momentum they built as a team and make some noise in SEC championships.
Definitely. So, Kyle, I know we've got a long time before the next meet, but in case people want to talk about the SEC championship, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TigerEye24. Well, I will not talk to you about sand traps. I've finished that.
You've had enough conversations about that.
I mean, I think I spoke enough about that in the first two episodes that we had enough to make just people mad about it.
Okay. Well, you know. So I am also on Twitter at JessicaLoomisRN. But I don't know what we'd talk about if it's not sand traps. So I'm here. I'm here if you want to talk about anything other than sand traps. So that's all we've got for today's episode. So War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Before you get out of here, we want to remind you of a couple of things. Head over to e2cnetwork.com, our website where you can find everything that you'll ever need from us, podcasts, blogs, and even ways to help support the show. If you want to find individual episodes, you can download all of these on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. So until we see you again, I want to remind you of one thing, that here at the network, we believe in Auburn and love it. The only question remains, do you?